Jello, this is Jeff the Drunk, and you're listening to the Mobile Horror Companion, whatever the fuck that is. Don't ask me to do this again. Fuck off.
Hi, this is Stuttering John Melendez from The Howard Stern Show, and for some really stupid reason, you're listening to the Mobile Horror Companion. Great name for a podcast, morons.
Let's give it a shot.
What do you say to Americans who are upset with you over the way you downplayed this crisis over the last couple of months? We have it very much under control in this country. The coronavirus is very much under control in the USA. It's going to disappear. It's like a miracle. It will disappear. At March 4th, we have a very small number of people in this country infected. March 10th, we're prepared. We're doing a great job with it. It will go away. Just stay calm. It will go away. What do you say to Americans who believe?
The perfectly fine Mobile Horror Companion. If those of you that are into podcasts like to listen to that kind of stuff.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mobile Horror Companion. My name, actually, for purposes of this podcast, is Carlos Danger. Don't ask any questions. And I'm joined by a co-host for a couple of years now. Not 6 years, because I can't add. 5 years, Mr. Brian Spears. Hello, Brian.
Hello, hello.
And then making a return appearance to the podcast, one of our favorite guests is from Mondo Creepy, Mr. Matt Maisto. Hello, Matt.
Hello, greetings and salutations.
Hello. Yes, this is Lilith von Bloodworth. It's the organizer of the Mega Monster Horror Mania Convention. I was wondering when you'd get back to me. I'd like to sign autographs at your next show. Ideally for $20 a piece. No, I don't have any IMDb credits. I'm a horror hostess. No, I'm not smashly syndicated. No, I'm not in any local TV markets either. Public access? I wish. I'm on the internet. Look, can I just hang out by the bathroom and charge $1 for selfies? Hello? Why does that keep happening? Coming up, Barbara poorly reenacts everything you've already seen.
Then last but certainly not least is from the Music, Movies, and More podcast, Mr. Mike Lane.
Hello. It's good to be back.
So hopefully my audio is okay. I've noticed like when I do Zoom now, it goes to the computer audio instead of my doing this thing and it's all screwed up, but whatever. So tonight's episode, the topic of the episode, is recasting Reservoir Dogs. It was an idea from Mr. Brian Spears, and I'll throw it to him in 1 second. But the idea is 1992, Reservoir Dogs comes out, changes the game, right? Like Stringer Bell style, just changes the game. And Brian had the idea. It's an influential movie for all of us. We're all around the same age. I'm 30. You guys are all in your late 40s. But that was a big movie to us back in the day, which I guess we have to feel ashamed about in some way because it's, I don't know. There's probably somebody's protesting something about it, I'm sure. But this was a really interesting exercise. Mr. Brian Spears threw it out there as an idea, and everybody jumped on it. So I'm just going to shut up now and throw it over to you, Brian. Maybe you can talk about where you got this idea from.
All right. Originally, I was thinking about actually we should do this as a series. Like, hey, let's recast the Dirty Dozen, you know, or, you know, I was thinking of like big popular movies. And again, we're a horror movie podcast that never talks about horror movies. We're also a movie podcast that doesn't watch any movies. I mean, and all of us have our own little things going on. Mike records a movie. I think he just did the commentary for like this last Star Wars in the movie theater. Like, so he's never up on things. We never seem to be all on the same page. So it's like, hey,
Matt's hopped up on painkillers. He doesn't even know what day it is.
Yeah. Oh, you know, he's all like, that's the thing. So here's a movie that we all either even if we don't like it, even if it's not on a top 10, even if it is a top 10 movie for us, like, this is a movie we all know. The three people in like 2 weeks when Planet Comics rips us off and does this topic, you know, like, they, people know this movie. Anyone that's listening to us know this movie. I think it's just easy. Plus, I like it. It's interactive.
And let me ask you, because you said it's probably, or maybe not, in everybody's top 10, but I got to imagine if we went around the screen, Reservoir Dogs is definitely in my top five or top 10. Is that the same for everybody? Does anybody not like Reservoir Dogs?
I don't know if it's in my top 10, but I do like the movie. I remember where I was when I first watched it. My friends and I, we were in our early 20s and we rented it from Blockbuster. I didn't know what it was. And I remember being captivated by Buscemi's performance, especially, and then just how dialogue heavy it was. And even though it was so dialogue heavy, it still piqued my interest because the dialogue was entertaining. You know, it wasn't just, oh, where's the action and what's going to happen? It's like the dialogue is almost like an action. So I just love how it all flowed.
I think it's literally classified as an action movie where the action scene is taken out. If there's like no action in this action,
they just talk about the action that happened.
Yes,
but you didn't.
Can you imagine it?
Yeah, and like the dialogue, it's hard to impress this upon people. But there had never been dialogue like that in a movie before, where it was like, oh, this kind of sounds like when we're at a horror convention, a bunch of geeks sitting around talking about whatever. That became sort of cliched, but in Reservoir Dogs, it's done very well. So
I'll add one caveat. Because although the movie was released in 92, it took off on video in 93. Because I specifically remember seeing it the summer of 93 on home video. I just graduated high school, and like that was the thing of that summer. It was this very much a life, sort of a life-changing thing. And we just watched the shit out of it. Pete Gerner and I and our buddy Evan just watched it and just analyzed it and memorized it and just watched it again.
All right, so let's get to it. And maybe, Brian, you should go first. Let's not bury the lead here because it was your idea.
Well, how do you guys want to start this? Do you want me to just give you my list of names who I think should play every part in this movie?
Yeah, we could go around. You can start, and then you give your list of names, and then we'll all go.
I think it'll be too hard to go like character by character unless somebody else wants to run this, because I won't be
able. All right, you ready?
Yes.
My Marvin, the cop tied who gets his ear cut off. That would be played by Josh Stewart. I worked with him on The Punisher, but he's known for the Collector series. He's in a Batman movie as well. If you don't know him, look him up. He's good. And it's also a perfect role for, you know, he's played a cop before. He was on the TV show Third Watch. You know, he's very deep. It's not a huge character either.
It's a weird one to start with.
Well, do you want me? I'm just saying.
I'm just making an observation. It's just I've gone down like the. But it's
well, okay. Then there's also Holdaway. He's the character Tim Roth works with, the cop.
The cop.
It would be
the
Sam Black Jackson, cop. Who it should have been in the first place.
Who?
Sam Jackson. That should have. I know he auditioned for that role.
How did he not get that role?
I don't know if he took another. He might have been at that time.
A Time to Kill or something?
A Time to Kill, maybe. And that's a huge studio film.
Die Hard 3, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, like, I mean, because that was after, like, Jungle Fever. So he had buzz, I would think.
That's a good one, yeah.
Now, here. See, now. All right, maybe I have to mix this up. The Joe Cabot, the Lawrence Tierney role. I think I'm doing. I got to explain this. Rosie O'Donnell. But think of Rosie O'Donnell, the Rosie O'Donnell that yells at her assistant. Like a Rosie, like a real, like, no makeup on Rosie O'Donnell. Now, flip here's what I'm saying I want. Either Rosie O'Donnell, maybe like a Glenn Close, a strong woman. Because my idea for Nice Guy Eddie is Jonah Hill. Because I think Jonah Hill having a woman, like, come on. Like, I just remember Nice Guy Eddie. Dad, like he always wanted his dad's approval. It would be more emasculating. And I really think Jonah Hill plays like like a really like beaten down cuckold of a man very well.
The manic mama's boy.
Yeah. And I think he would play a very good, like, you know, he family first kind of guy. And I just picture that end, you know, don't point your gun at my daddy. But I'm like, don't point a gun at my mom. You don't point a gun at my mom. I just think Jonah Hill, especially like think Jonah Hill in Wolf of Wall Street. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
with those white
he's
teeth.
Like a sleazy kind of, and also like Jonah Hill, the stories you hear about him in real life. You know what I mean? Like the rumors, you know, how he's kind of a stuck up guy. I just think that could be good. Now I'm gonna move to Mr. Pink. Shia LaBeouf.
Ah. Probably one of the great character actors,
that's
I think, today.
Funny you should mention that he is my alternate for that choice. I sort of came, I have someone else, but he was my second choice.
And believe it or not, I have Rosie O'Donnell, but in another role.
Wow. I was going to say, I also have Shia LaBeouf, but I can't believe there's another Rosie O'Donnell. That's amazing. Okay.
But I thought, like, Mr. Pink, for a while I was like, who could be the Steve Buscemi? But you can't think of him as Steve Buscemi. Like, you got to think out of what the guy's really saying. And there's some, and maybe it's because I'm reading a lot about Shia LaBeouf in the news lately. And he is a dick, but like Peter Butter Falcon, check him out in that, man. Like, the guy.
It's like, I kind of picture him like the way he would deliver those lines, even though Buscemi, I think, delivered him amazingly. But like, Shia LaBeouf would be like, I don't do this.
Well, yeah, or he'd be a real dick about it.
Huh? Did you guys see his script read, the script reading of Fast Times at Richmond High they did on Facebook? Yeah.
I couldn't get through
that. Spicoli.
Yeah.
I liked his take on Spicoli. It was like very edgy. It was very different.
Mm.
I just thought he was really like in real life drunk and stoned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he was smoking a joint.
He totally went method for it for a script reading.
Although, let me ask you guys. So Mr. Pink, I thought that was the hardest one to cast.
Me too.
Because Buscemi, of all these, I think it's Buscemi. That is Buscemi. It's hard to picture anybody else in that role. I thought that was the toughest to
that was the toughest one for me, and I had that blank for
that was the last one I did as
that
well.
Was the last one I put in.
By the way, he's really good, and I just watched it the other day because now it's on HBO, so I'll watch it. Is King of Staten Island there with Pete Davidson? Buscemi's a firefighter. And he's good. I like that movie too. I thought it was pretty decent.
I guess I'm up to I'm going to do Mr. Orange, the Tim Roth role. This is another guy maybe not everyone knows. I happened to meet him on a TV show, but he was in the TV show Pacific. He was in Battle in Sparrow Creek and Donnybrook. His name is James Badgedale.
I know James Batch Dallas.
Yeah. He was in Iron Man 3 too. He played one of the bad guys.
Who was he in Donnybrook?
He was the cop, the junkie cop.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah.
And I just think he's played enough cops and scumbags in his career, but he's never gotten a breakout role. And he's a damn good actor.
So he was on a really good show on AMC that only lasted a season called Rubicon.
Yes.
Hmm.
And I just think that's like he could, you know, just because it's an actor, like he might be good in that. And also, he's not like a name. You know, he'd probably be smaller in the cast, maybe a little, you know. My Mr. Blonde. Michael Shannon.
That's my exact pick, too. That was another tough one, though.
Well, it's like Michael Shannon, like Boardwalk Empire.
I don't know, just Michael Shannon.
Yeah,
whatever he brings.
I have another Boardwalk Empire guy on my list.
For a while had like I was like, oh, Vincent D'Onofrio could be a cool, you know, like Mr. Blonde, and he'd be bald, but like have him like buff out a little bit. Like I was thinking of like, but Michael Shannon, and it might be because I did watch him in that Knives Out recently. I've seen him in I've also. He's just got a giant freaking head and he's weird and kooky.
He's got a Frankenstein head.
Yeah. And I just think he's got sort of like how at what's his name? Madison, when he did that dance, it looked really awkward because he is sort of big. And I think that's the same way Michael Shannon could, but like he would bring a completely different menacing psycho to him. Like that guy, I think deserves to play like a major psycho sometime. I mean, I know he's played whatever, the Iceman or something like that, but I mean like a real director, a real movie.
He can have a very unsettling presence, and that he was like that in Boardwalk Empire. You know, when in Boardwalk Empire, you watched him and it was like, oh, yeah, what is he going to do? You know, totally.
Now, Mr. White, my first reaction was,
wait, Brad. Can I get, okay. I was going to guess.
What was your guess? What was your
first? Well, he's sort of, I was going to talk about my thought process, but you can guess.
Well, Brian had said his first thought for Mr. White was Brad Pitt. And before I interrupted him though, because I was gonna guess who he ended up casting.
Because it just popped into
my, I'm gonna try. Okay, I don't know the guy's name, but he was on Boardwalk Empire. Played at the end.
Jay Wiggum?
Yes.
No, but that's a great choice.
I might change mine.
When Matt said something about somebody else from Boardwalk, I was like, oh, goddamn. Shea Whigham could have played every one of these parts.
Me too. Yeah, that's what I thought. All right, sorry, go ahead.
No, well, I thought Brad Pitt would be good, you know, but maybe he's too Hollywood. So then I went with Ben Mikkelsen. He's from that Star Wars movie. He was The Outsider.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I thought he could be really reserved yet menacing.
Yeah. He played a
and also like I could picture him being a little paternal to everyone else. And he's also not a buff. Like Brad Pitt might be, you know, too Hollywood and too like he looks like the boss already, you know, too leading man. And then just for a bonus, Mr. Brown and Mr. Blue. Mr. Blue was
Eddie Bunker.
So I thought it would be cool to have James Ellroy play him. I think, is he still alive? If James Ellroy was still alive, he'd be perfect.
I do have another writer in that part.
And
funny you had a writer because I've got a writer also.
Mr. Brown, it has to be Quentin Tarantino again.
Why Mr. Brown? That sounds like Mr. Shit.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's your whole, I was just looking. That's everybody. All right, sweet. So who wants to go next? Mike Lane, why don't you go?
I'll go. All right. So Brian reminded me of the cop. So I thought of the cop off the top of my head. So I'll start from that. So I was thinking of the actor DJ Qualls because he's a little guy. And
who's that?
He was in so many things, but
he was played the geek in Road Trip. He's real skinny, has big ears, big nose.
In the late 90s, early 2000s, he was like the awkward geek.
He was the Anthony Michael Hall of the late 90s, okay. Early.
I've Man got two guys in my castle. Head, but okay.
Man in the High Castle. He was also in a couple episodes of Breaking Bad.
Okay, just
but like real tiny guy and like vulnerable guy, and considering the cop is being tortured throughout the whole movie, he can probably elicit most likely more sympathy. So, but thanks for reminding me about that, Brian, because I thought of that on the fly. Haldaway. So I was thinking Giancarlo Esposito, because I want to see him as a good guy because I've seen him as a bad guy so many times, and he would be great in a teacher type role as well. Just the way that he delivers it, I think he would be a very calming presence in an otherwise chaotic movie. So Mr. Pink, which is originally played by Steve Buscemi, that's my Rosie O'Donnell choice. But she has to go.
I don't want to see these movies.
But she has to go like.
I thought you were kidding, Mike. I thought that was a funny joke, but now I'm.
No, I was dead serious. So she has to go like full, kind of like what Brian was saying, like full stereotypical Long Island, you know, just aggressive and just the way that she could be. So, you know, I'm trying to like turn these roles on their heads a little bit. Nice guy, Eddie. Cameron Britton. He played Ed Kemper in Mindhunter.
Okay.
So very imposing.
You mean Glenn Baisley?
No, I didn't say that. But very imposing, obviously, but like very mellow delivery, which would be, you know, a little offsetting and plus kind of polar opposite to Chris Penn's just awesome maniacal performance. Now, as kind of relating to like a little bit of a mellow but kind of neurotic performance, So the role of Joe, I would choose Jack Lemmon. Older Jack Lemmon, but like Glengarry.
He's dead, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they have to be alive?
Well, no, just go. Jack Lemmon would be, I mean, Jesus, that would be.
Like, can you imagine? Just, yeah. You know, just like his neurotic Glenn Ross self, I think would be good. Michael Madsen role. So Dominique Jackson. She's in the show Pose, which I never watched, but I just saw her in American God. She played Ms. World, and her performance as Ms. World was scary. And I think Mr. Blonde needs to be scary. So she would be an interesting choice.
Very left of center choices, Mike. I like these.
Yeah. And then Mr. White, the Harvey Keitel role, Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise would kind of like a Magnolia. Tom Cruise, like that very just like, you know, just intense kind of performance, you know, especially when he's panicking when Mr. Blonde is, when Mr. Orange is dying all the time. And speaking of Mr. Orange, my last choice, Mr. Orange, originally played by Tim Roth, Idris Elba, because Mr. Orange is a relatively vulnerable role. And I've usually seen Elba in non-vulnerable roles in the roles that I've seen him in. And I know he can play vulnerable. I just haven't seen him do it. So it would be really, really cool to see him as that. And just to have Idris Elba and Giancarlo Esposito both in the same scene working off each other, you know, I'll just worth the price.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
So. Yeah, those are cool.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of turn stuff on its head.
Those are good choices.
Mr. Mondo Creepy.
All right. So my first one, Mr. Brown. I kept thinking about the dick. And, you know, your name doesn't sound like Mr. Shit. And there was only really one person I could imagine other than Tarantino saying that. And that's Danny McBride.
Okay.
Danny McBride's my Mr. Brown.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Just the way he would deliver that whole monologue, it's a total Danny McBride type of monologue.
And that's like the first dialogue in the movie, right? Doesn't it?
Yeah.
And he's dead 10 minutes later, so, you know.
That's the great thing about Mr. Brown and Mr. Blue.
Just a little goes a long way.
Yeah.
For Mr. Blonde, the Michael Madsen role, I've got Carl Urban.
Okay.
The guy that plays Butcher on The Boys. Because he's got that big hulking menacing energy, and I think he could like take that scary to the next level, like kind of doing a variation of the same thing.
I do notice a lot of our tastes are centered on our pandemic viewing.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's in our minds.
Yeah. Mr. Pink, Steve Buscemi, either LaBeouf or my alternate is Jesse Eisenberg.
Okay.
I think he could also give that same kind of neurotic energy to the role.
Give him a crew cut. He could do that.
Yeah.
Have him like a nice shaved head.
He was Lex Luthor.
He was Lex Luthor. Well, for better or worse, he was Lex Luthor. Mr. Orange, Tim Roth. I've got Walton Goggins because he's just so versatile.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's really good.
But he's another guy that can Goggins contend with a bunch of these roles too.
Wait, you guys, hold on, Brian, say what you said again.
I said that's another guy that could run the gamut in some of these other roles too.
Yeah, Mike, what did you say?
He has such a wide range, so I'm so
exactly
curious how he would play that role. Could he be like, you know, flamboyant, or can he be like
really very understated?
Little? Yeah, oof, good choice.
Yeah, thank you.
I love that there's a vice president's, or not vice president's, vice principal reunion in there.
I thought about that too.
well, also Righteous Gemstones.
That
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mr. White, Harvey Keitel. There was really only one person I felt could really do this because he's aged now. He's weathered. He's ready. And that is none other than Sean Penn.
Huh.
There we go. I have a Sean Penn in my cast too.
Like that whole line where he's talking about, you know, you hit him with the butt of the gun. No one says effing shit after that. I could just imagine Sean Penn delivering that.
And he'd definitely get a kick out of the old dick.
Yeah.
Sean Penn even acting anymore? Like, when's the last time there was like a Sean Penn?
He did a TV show for like Amazon. He played an astronaut or something like that. I think it only lasted a season. I don't think anybody watched it. I didn't see it.
He's doing a lot of humanitarian work with the COVID vaccine. I know that.
But yeah, as far as acting, yeah, I guess maybe that was the last thing he did.
I just watched today an interview with Sean Penn. I don't know what show he was on, maybe Conan O'Brien, where he tells a story about going to Mexico
to meet Marlon Brando.
With Marlon Brando, yeah, and they get whatever they're trying to like get an author to sign over a movie thing.
That's all right, awesome. So nice guy Eddie, Chris Penn, Jesse Plemons.
Ah.
Oh, the guy that's he was in Breaking Bad, yes. Fargo. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh yeah, yeah. That's another interesting guy. It's funny, all the actors we're picking are kind of like, it's all the 70s sort of character actors.
Yeah, and when, then this sort of becomes like a thread to my next one for Joe. There was, again, like it was just, for me, there was only one choice to play Joe, and that's Jonathan Banks, Mr. Mike Ehrmantraut himself.
Believe it or not, he was a guy that I was like playing around with, but that's where I was going to be. I tried to be like, you know, maybe not as extreme as Mike, but I was thinking in this new world, you know, we had to throw, you know, some ladies. I had to think a little bit. But I thought Mike might be too. He's so damn close right now. Like
that's why it stuck out at me.
Yeah. Like, and it's like, oh, like he has the voice.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he would
he's
be
got
so
the voice
good.
And the look.
Yeah.
I was so surprised when you know I watched Community during the pandemic that I had no idea he was in Community. He just pops up. I'm like, what is he doing in this?
It must have been like right before Better Call Saul started. So maybe it was like something in between that he did.
Yeah, because he's only on it for a season.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so
and
bizarre.
Keith David, they like switch parts.
Yep, yep. So for Mr. Blue, Eddie Bunker, I've got Stephen King.
Okay.
There you go.
That'd be cool.
If he did it, yeah, that would be huge.
That would be huge if he did it. I mean, no one's seen him act in anything since what, Creepshow? I think Creepshow was like the last. Like,
aside from his cameos, that might have been like the only thing he really
did. The only thing.
Yeah.
For Marvin Nash, are you guys familiar with who David Dalmashian? So David Dalmashian.
David was in Wasp and the Ant-Man. He was in a Kamal movie. So
he was also in The Dark Knight. He played
Dark Knight.
He played the Joker's kind of lackey. Guy.
Oh no shit. There's like IMDb.
Like if you IMDb him, you'll look at his face and be like, oh, that guy. And for Holdaway, I've got Michael K. Williams.
Good.
Omar. Oh, there we go. He was another
guy
right?
in Community. And my alternate is Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah. But he was Williams was also in Community.
Was he?
For a couple episodes. He played a teacher.
And for K. Billy, Sounds of the 70s, Stephen Wright. It's got to be Stephen Wright.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I actually wrote that down. I said, well, if we do the DJ, it's the same thing. It's
Stephen Wright.
You can't replace that.
You can't replace Stephen Wright. Unless you go Gilbert Gottfried in a whole other direction.
Or you can do Howard Stern imitating himself as a young DJ.
Hey, Bill Burr. Back to the 70s.
WCCC.
I can't do better than Stephen Wright.
That one thing, like, I think this exercise has proved. It's like, they're never going to make Reservoir Dogs. They're never going to remake it.
No,
the dialogue is so unique.
Yeah.
But also, like, it was so hard to do this because it's pretty much perfectly cast.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like it's. I mean, what you just said about Stephen Wright. It's like, yeah, it's just. I don't know the movie.
Well, that's almost why it's fun, because. You can never no one will ever be as good as Steve Buscemi. So it's like, we're always thinking against type, or we're trying to think, how can you know, counter program what's already a perfect movie. So right. Like that. And also what is nice about something like this, it is it will never happen.
Right.
So it is fun just to see, like, it's actually just saying, who do we think match up in this superhero world? And actually now I say superhero, I could have also put Pedro Pascal in a bunch of places, but because The Mandalorian doesn't show his face enough, I always forget the guy.
Although, like,
he's
even
so good in Narcos.
Yeah, and he's good in Narcos, and he's actually, I mean, Wonder Woman 1984 is not a good movie, but he tries so hard.
He tries so hard to make that shit work.
Yeah, because he would definitely, that guy can do anything. I saw that. I was like, oh, this guy can do anything.
He was incredible in Game of Thrones. He was probably my favorite performance in all of Game of Thrones. He just, he was such a better character than the character in the book.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, he was.
I don't read. All right. Here's mine.
Someday those books will come out.
Oh, do you see that? You can see a Sean Penn in there. All right. So, I mean, I thought about the Tim Roth. The way I approached this, I was like, all right, who are the weakest actors or performances in Reservoir Dogs? Weakest characters, weakest actors. And like Tim Roth, like, I don't know. That was the one part where I think it could have been recasted even back in the day. And so then I started there and I thought like, all right, so how old, Tim Roth was 28 when he made that,
okay.
which is pretty amazing. So, but I went with Shia LaBeouf, even though he's like 34 now, he would actually be older, which is weird. So I went with Shia LaBeouf for Mr. Orange, the Tim Roth part, just going for some of the throwaway parts, Haldaway, the cop who, you know, meets with Roth or Mr. whatever Orange. I went with what's her name, the woman from Midsommar, Florence.
Oh, Florence Poe or whatever. Poe,
however you say that. Yeah.
Oh.
I went with.
I'm thinking of her from Midsommar. I'm like, when she was young, so like a young.
These cops, they're not old. That's the thing. That was what I like. All these characters, they were young. They were all young, right? A cop, you're 20 years, you're out. There's no really 60-year-old cops. All right. So then for Marvin the cop, the ear torture guy, I went with Herc from The Wire. What's his name? Dominic Lombard, whatever his name is, the big guy, and he was in The Irishman and all that. Because I wanted somebody who's actually, you're going to be like, oh, this guy should be kicking ass, but instead he's getting his ear cut off. For Mr. White, and I went back and forth with this. First, I said Pedro Pascal as Mr. White.
Oh, okay.
Then I was like, nah, he's too young. Need somebody a little older. And I went with Clark Peters from The Wire, who was
from The Wire and
Tremé and whatever he's been. Who did he play in The Wire? He was the guy with the sweater vest. Do you remember his name?
Yeah. Ryan?
Yeah, but what was his name in The Wire? Do you remember his character's name?
It'll come to me, but yeah, I don't know.
So I went with that dude. Then Mr. Blonde. I thought Mr. Blonde was kind of tough because that was definitely a Michael Madsen role. Like, I really couldn't think of anybody who could be that psycho and cool. But I went with Michael Shannon only because Michael Shannon can do anything. For Mr. Pink, the Buscemi one, I went with Bill Burr.
It's a good choice, maybe.
It's kind of sort of on the nose because he would be imitating the Buscemi thing. And the other thing I also said as like a backup, Pedro Pascal for that. Maybe he could do that. For Mr. Brown, the Quentin Tarantino character, if there's one actor I want to see killed off right away, it would be Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
I was afraid you were going to say Sherry Moon Zombie.
Oh, that's a good, I might have to change this, but from The Walking Dead. Then for Mr. Blue, the Eddie Bunker character, who I believe gets killed off screen, you never really see it.
Yeah.
He's in, and he's barely in the beginning of the movie. I said Sean Penn for that. To screw with the audience. For Nice Guy Eddie, and I just think, like, what was his name? Christopher Penn? Was that Sean Penn's brother? He is, I mean, damn, it's such a shame that guy passed away, because, I mean, to go from, like, what, The Wildlife, whatever that 1984 Porky's type
which
movie?
Which has never been released on DVD.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
There's a whole bunch of issues with the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
But like when you realize, oh my God, this guy is a really great actor and he is so good. I mean, I don't know. It's been a long time now.
And on a side note, Eddie Van Halen scored that movie and most of that soundtrack's never been used.
Oh, that's crazy. But Penn is so good in Reservoir Dogs. Yep. Like, I think he's just iconic as Nice Guy Eddie. So that was a really tough one. And I said Michael Rooker as Nice Guy Eddie, and then I said maybe Willem Dafoe as backup. For Joe, the Lawrence Tierney character, I went with Harvey Keitel because he's an old man now, right? Little stunt casting.
That's a good choice. I like the stunt casting.
And that's my list. That's it. That's the who we're picking for Reservoir Dogs. So, fucking A. See you next week. Yeah, hey, that was fun, right?
Yeah.